The fourth reference to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts contains one of the most amazing promises ever made to Christians. Jesus promised, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now the promise contained two elements. Number one, the Holy Spirit of God would come upon the saints of God. And number two, supernatural power would attend the presence of the Spirit in the life of the Christian. The promise of God's power upon God's children was recorded in the gospel record as well as in Acts. Luke 24:29 records these words from Jesus. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." The earliest Christian disciples had experienced what it was like to have the power of God upon their work and witness. For Jesus called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name." And he said to them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now such supernatural power was not natural in their lives, but was given through the direct commission of the Lord Jesus. Imagine their excitement, therefore, when Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come to abide with and within them forever, and that his abiding would mean empowering. Now, the promise was not for those first-generation Christians only. The Lord's promise is to you and me. We're living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. He is actively present in the world today, convicting men of sin, calling sinners to Christ, effecting regeneration in penitent believers, taking up permanent residence in each one who is saved, and otherwise exercising a wide range of blessed ministries in each Christian. One of those ministries is making the believer sufficient in power to do all that he should do as a child and servant of God. The promise of the power of the Holy Spirit upon the life of the Christian is as true and valid today as when Jesus first spoke it some 19 centuries ago. So let us review the instances where the power of God was communicated to the servants of God, as recorded in the Bible, in order that we might appreciate the promise of power which God has given to us. First, the examples of the power of the Holy Spirit upon the lives of men are to be found in the Old Testament. Yes, the Holy Spirit was present and active in the Old Testament period. He's always been in the world. He was there before the creation was formed, while the mass of matter was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and was God's intermediate agent to communicate creative power and bring order in the created universe. God garnished the heavens by His Spirit and renewed the earth with His breath. The Spirit of God was personally active in the lives of individual people in that Old Testament dispensation. He convicted men of personal sin. He directed the skill of artisans. He increased the wisdom of leaders. He increased the effectiveness of armies. He inspired the message of prophets. Oh yes, the Holy Spirit was personally active in the lives of individuals in Old Testament times. The Spirit did not come upon all people, however. He came upon chosen ones. The Spirit came upon chosen people only during the Old Testament period. He came to empower for service. And when the service was ended, or the anointed one turned from God to sin, the Spirit would no longer empower him. Now mark that distinction well. The Holy Spirit would come upon a person at one time and depart from him at another through all of the Old Testament period. You see that illustrated in the experience of King Saul and of a judge named Samson. Men who were anointed of God and fell into sin found it necessary to pray, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." But God promised something better was ahead. He promised His Spirit would come upon all His people and abide there permanently. Now, secondly, the expression of the power of the Holy Spirit upon the lives of Christians are found in the early Christians. They lived and ministered under the special commission and empowering by Jesus, as the Old Testament saints had served under the special empowering of God. Now, Jesus promised that special power would come upon them after the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Spirit was not given to all believers until after Jesus was glorified in His ascension back to the Father, And therefore, the disciples of Jesus ministered under the special empowering during his incarnate ministry, just as the saints in the Old Testament had ministered. But Jesus kept their hope alive with his promises of power communicated through the presence of the Spirit. And at last, the promise was fulfilled. On that first Christian Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the power came with the Spirit. They spoke in languages, won converts, performed miracles of healings, until the enemies cried out, "By what power have ye done this?" The promises were true. Supernatural power did accompany the personal presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of God's children. Third, the explanation of the power of the Holy Spirit upon the lives of Christians is made in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. For Jesus was, in every sense of the term, a man of the Spirit. The Bible testifies, "God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." And he declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me." He was truly filled with the Holy Spirit. And remember the nature of the incarnation of Christ. He emptied himself of all manifestations of deity, but not of the divine nature, and appeared in the likeness of man. As ideal man, he made himself totally available to God, and God in turn gave the Spirit without measure to him. Acts 10:38 reads, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, for God was with him." Jesus was so totally dependent upon the Father working through him by the Holy Spirit that he said, "The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do." The power of God communicated through the Holy Spirit to the man called Jesus is an example of his power upon Christians today. Four, the experience of the power of the Holy Spirit upon the lives of Christians should be normal today. Jesus promised, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Now the Spirit has come. His blessed indwelling is the spiritual birthright of each believer and is the essence of what it means to be saved. The Spirit has come. Power came with the Spirit. He does not give us power apart from himself. He is our power. Now the New Testament is replete with references to the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the children of God. Ephesians 1:19 speaks of the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 speaks of God's ability to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and then adds, "according to the power that is already at work in us." Think of it. God's power is already upon the person who has received the Holy Spirit, and every person who is saved has received the Holy Spirit. Spiritual power is your birthright as a child of God through Jesus Christ. For 30 years, the Father lived in Jesus Christ and did his work through the divine Son. And now the Father lives in those who believe in Jesus Christ and does his work through them. As Jesus was anointed with the Spirit and power during his earthly ministry, so Christians are anointed with the Spirit and power during their earthly ministry. That is your spiritual birthright, dear Christian. Live in the light of it.